So we are on the Lotus EU tour. We are headed to Prague right now for the last stop. And I've been talking to Ria a lot, and so we decided to sit down and do an interview. But maybe we should start with where you found Kanama the first time, and then how you got into it, and do like your dough origin story.
Okay. First time I saw Kendama was in 2017. I was at a concert, Boogie Tea in Squanto, and I got to hang out backstage with them, and they were playing Kendama, and I was like, what the hell is that? And then 3 years goes by, and I go to my friend Victoria's house for a game night right at the beginning of COVID, and she has one. And I remembered it from then, and I really wanted to try it, and she gave it to me. I did Big Cup, like, first try, and instantly just wanted to keep learning more. So after I left her house, I went to Target and got a Sweets Prime, and from then just could not put it down. I went home and wouldn't go to sleep until I could do all cups to spike. I think it took me like 3 hours to figure it out.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, it's pure luck. People just do this out of luck. There's no technique behind it, nothing. And then the next day, I was like, there's got to be other tricks you can do with it. And so I looked it up on YouTube and found Dave Mateo and saw him flowing with it.
Oh, wow.
And something I've always wanted to do was, like, get into some type of flow. And when I saw that you could do it with Kendama, I was like, this is sick. I'm just going to figure out how to do that. And so instead of doing, like, more technical tricks, I kind of just started throwing my Kendama around, like, seeing how I could throw it behind me, under my leg, and things like that. And then the Honed at Home challenge started in April, and Victoria had tagged me in that. And that's whenever I started Googling, like, proper tricks and found Kusa's tutorial online. And I went through their entire thing of tutorials, watched them all multiple times,
yeah.
Just started learning those tricks, and then doing whatever I could for the Honed at Home challenge. And yeah. And so, after that, did the 100 days and everything.
What would you do at the end?
After the Honed at Home challenge, a couple months went by, and I just, like, could not stop playing, and I wanted to keep posting and stuff. And one of my friends told me to do the 100-day challenge, and I did.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's whenever, like, I really found the community, found everyone, and realized, like, this is a whole world in its own.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with the community and the whole aspect of Kendama.
So you were home during COVID. What were you working before? Were you at a restaurant, and that's why...
I was at a restaurant, and I had actually put in my 2 weeks for that restaurant, and I was going to go work at another bakery.
Yeah.
But then COVID happened, and I couldn't go there.
Okay. So do you think COVID helped you be able to spend more time? Or do you think, yeah?
That's what I always tell people. I'm like, the one good thing that came out of COVID was Kendama.
Yeah.
Because I would wake up every morning and just go outside and play Kendama until the sun would go down. Every single day until COVID was pretty much done and I could start working again.
Yeah, okay. What made you, like, grasp Kendama so much and get so into it at first?
I don't know. I guess I've always liked figuring things out, like puzzles and things like that. And I feel like Kendama is one big puzzle.
Yeah.
And, like, the flow aspect of it all, like, dancing with it, I really enjoyed. And I noticed that a lot of people didn't really do that when I first started playing. It's become a lot more apparent and popular now to, like, do string flow.
Yeah.
But when I first started... no one ever really posted. There was only a certain few people that did it, and I wanted to, like, expand on it more, bring people back into that.
Yeah.
And now I see that there's, like, a lot more string, and it always makes me happy when people do string stuff.
Yeah. So, who was, like, your local group of friends that were playing during COVID? Were you hanging out with them?
Yeah.
In Houston, right?
Yeah. It was Victoria, Julie, Tara Lynn, Sophia, and then we had a few of our guy friends, Trey, Lemon, and it was just us, and Damien and Stefan, they don't really play as much anymore, but they used to always come, and we would just session a park every Friday. I used to host jams.
Oh, cool.
And so during COVID, every Friday, we would go to a park and sesh.
Yeah.
And be out there from noon till the sun would go down.
Yeah. And then how did you progress Kendama compared to them, and how much did they play and push you and stuff?
When we first started, we all pushed each other a lot to try new things, because it was just fun to, like, play Ken and do things like that. But obviously, me playing the amount that I did compared to them, I progressed a lot faster.
Yeah.
But I honestly didn't mind that, because I was able to teach them stuff. And
yeah.
That's something that I didn't realize that I was going to love to do. I love teaching people how to do tricks, any type of trick. Even if I'm not that great at it, if I can do it, I'll give you whatever tips I can on how to do it.
Yeah, that's really cool. So then when COVID ended, you started working and then just playing when you could? Or
I'm a chef, so working very long hours, sometimes 14 hours a day, and I live an hour away from where I work. And then on my off days, I have like laundry to do, groceries to buy, I have two little doggies that I have to take care of and that I want to spend time with. So it's really hard to balance both. And I honestly got to like a certain point where I was like, is this something that I want to keep doing anymore? Like, is it worth it? The last team that I was on, it was not anything like this. And I just felt like everything was just falling apart and it wasn't even going to be worth it to keep pushing. But then I went to Battle in 2022. Yeah. And that just sparked that like switch in me again, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna continue to play. I want to do this. I want to push myself to get better, because when I first started playing, I was like really good. The tricks that I would do, I would not even dare try now, honestly.
But
I want to get back to that like mentality of just like pushing myself to do tricks that are out of my comfort zone.
Because
I just like stick to string most of the time, and I don't want to keep doing that.
Because
you guys make these other tricks look so much fun, I want to figure them out too.
What tricks are you talking about specifically? More like juggle, tap stuff?
Juggles, taps. I love instas, I've realized. Like, the lighthouse flips are so much fun. But juggles and taps are like my nemesis. So I really want to figure those ones out. Because I used to be really good at stalls, but I don't really mess around with them as much anymore. But to be able to do like some cool juggle tap line into a stall, like, I want to be able to do stuff like that. Especially on stage for freestyle. I can't just keep doing string. Like, I have to do some other things.
So was Battle like your first big event?
Battle was my first event ever.
Battle 22? Gotcha.
The first one after COVID that they had.
Okay. And that's when Lotus Team first talked to you, right? No, that was NAKO.
That was NAKO. Battle, you guys were all there. No, Russ and you were there, right? Were you there? And Russ and I talked for like a split second.
Oh, that's right.
But it was my first event. I was really nervous meeting everybody because I'd seen everybody in the community online for so long. And it was just like an overwhelming experience in a really great way. But I was just, because like I idolized Russ, Marcus, Francis so much that like meeting them in person, I was like, oh my God, like nervous.
So then, so Battle 22 happened, and then how about after that event? So that's when you kind of make the decision to start going, like, I guess continue playing?
Yeah, continue my journey, like actually start posting again, interacting with the community again. I pretty much stopped talking to everybody, and there was a lot of other things that was going on in my life too, and it just kept pushing me back more and more and more, and I was like, I can't let this stuff hold me back. Like, I need to push past it and just continue to play Kendama, because nothing's ever made me as happy as Kendama does. I never feel the way I feel playing Kendama when doing anything else. And I missed it. And that's why I was like, I need to just do what makes me happy. I can do both things. I can be a chef and I can play Kendama. I don't have to just pick one.
What's your favorite part about Kendama? Like, what part specifically makes you the most happy?
Whenever I finally, like, well, that's tough, because trick-wise, obviously, like, picking, like, figuring out a trick that I've been dying to figure out and it just clicks, oh my God, such a good feeling. But then after getting involved with the community, being on a really good team, this is, like, the best thing anyone could ask for. Like, look where we are, look what we're doing. Like, never in my life would I have thought that this would have brought all of this for me. And I just feel so lucky. Like, I love it so much.
Do you think, what's your process of, like, playing Kendama? Do you warm up? Do you do the stuff that you already know? Do you immediately dive into a new trick or concept? Because I see you, like, in your backyard in Houston a lot. Your backyard?
My front yard, yeah.
Your front yard? Nice. But, yeah, I guess, do you have, like, a process in mind?
Routine that I do. So, yeah, I'll, like, always attempt around Tunbridge whenever.
Oh, really?
It's like always like the first thing I do, and then I'll also like do some whirlwinds and juggles, like 1.5 juggle spike. Those are like to get like my hands going. And then whatever I'm like feeling in that moment, like I'll mess around with other tricks, like my stunt plane, stunt fast, then I'll start doing instas and juggles, and whatever I feel kind of honed in, that's the where I go to like make my concept. And I just, I just kind of go from there, whatever feels right. Because there's some days that you just aren't going to hit a certain trick. Especially when you haven't figured it out yet. And I don't like to waste my entire sesh just trying to figure out one trick. I say this even though it always ends up happening, because sometimes I'm just like, I want this. Like, I know I can just do it. But I'm trying to be in, like, the mentality of, like, just having fun. If I can't figure it out, there's another trick that I can't figure out instead of that one right now.
Yeah. When do you think you progressed during that COVID time with the 100-day challenge, is when you, like, really pushed and learned a bunch of stuff? Because you have a really, really good, like, fundamental base, and then you have obviously, like, very advanced string tech and string flow stuff that people, like, nobody really is doing. Some of the tricks that you're doing, like, no one does.
Yeah.
And then I feel like you're also good at stump planes from what I've seen the trip so far.
Yeah.
Did that all come during that time, or is there stuff more recently that you've been pushing?
I really didn't do that much string during my 100 days.
Okay.
My string days were kind of my cop out days. Yeah. I would just like go outside and flow because I was tired and I didn't want to do anything. I used to do a lot more technical string stuff, like with fun houses and C whips and pitches.
Okay.
And so, those would be the times that I would do string. But I really did a lot of stall stuff during my 100 days.
Okay.
Which is funny, because when I first started the 100 days, I was like, I hate stalls. These are the dumbest tricks ever.
Yeah.
But then I ended up doing a lot of, like, pinch string stall tricks.
Yeah.
And those were just, like, funky, fun tricks. And I miss being creative like that.
Yeah.
And that's why I really want to get back into the technical aspect of it, so I can get back to mixing both together.
Okay.
Because that really was my favorite part, was getting those two things together.
Okay.
Because those aren't tricks people normally like to do.
You mean like technical string stuff?
Yeah. So like, I would like have the tonal on bird, and I would pitch the string and loop it down nightingale and things like that.
Creative stuff that it might have been technically done before, but you kind of think of it on the spot and you're kind of like playing around with.
Or I see somebody do a trick similar, and I'm like, what else can you do with that? Like, there's something else that you can do with that, too.
Yeah.
But I also feel like me taking the break that I did really set me back.
Yeah.
So that's why I really want to get back to the way I was and just play a lot more, push myself.
Yeah, for sure. When did you start really getting into the community? Was it mostly through Instagram at first?
Oh, yeah, because I was online for 2 years pretty much almost 2 years, I think, before I met anybody.
Yeah.
So, the community online was just the craziest, nicest people I've ever met in my life. I would literally do, like, juggle Big Cup. Dude, pop
Bunch
off!
Of,
like,
yeah.
It's so crazy. Like, yeah. Congrats. I've never felt that kind of, like, love and motivation from people. And then just having, like, people reach out to me and be like, oh, since you did that, like, try this trick or try that. And if you don't know how to do it, like, this is how you do it. And just feeling that love from people I had never met, never even spoken to, and they were just being so supportive and motivational. I've never experienced a community like that.
Yeah.
Or people like that in general. And it's weird how Kendama just brings us all together.
Yeah.
And like everyone just kind of gets along because of this.
Yeah. Totally. So you were on Instagram, what were you, like, who were your best friends that you were making besides your local squad on Instagram that were reaching out and you're really talking to? And then I guess take me to, like, when you ended up going to battle.
Emily and Lauren were like the first girls that I was like, oh my god, and we just clicked instantly. Like, I love them so much. Cam Herrera, Stank Lord, Austin Donovan, those two pushed me so hard.
Yeah.
Like, they were so supportive. They always were there for me, and they would always, like, give me tips and tricks to try. I would say those four were, like, my first really close friends in the community that I had met online. And which is really cool, because I got to meet Emily and Lauren and Austin at Lost Lands before Battle.
Yeah.
We got to meet them at a music festival. And that was kind of also how we all clicked, because we all loved the same type of electronic music.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people nowadays do, but whenever we all became friends, it was still a smaller genre and people didn't really listen to it the way we did.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, I feel like we clicked a lot too. And it was so cool to go to a music festival, and there were so many other people at Lost Lands that played Kendama as well.
Yeah.
Like, Sweets had a booth out there. And so we had, like, a mini comp going on at Lost Lands, which was crazy to me because I'd been going to Lost Lands 3 years prior.
Oh, wow.
And never had seen Kendama, nothing like that. And then go the fourth year, and it's just everywhere. Everyone's got a Kendama around their neck because of the dubstep DJs that have Kendamas.
Yeah.
And it just blew up in the community. And it was so fun to just, like, have crowds of people around us just watching us slay Kendama. Yeah, it was It was amazing.
What do you think made the... Why do you think it really... Kanama really blew up in the EDM community? Is there, like, specific reasons?
I think the flow aspect of it.
Yeah.
Honest, that and just, like, having something to do while you're in the crowd. Like, even if you're not doing string stuff, like, doing cups and things like that. Like, you can cup to the beat or you can...
Yeah.
Just, like, something to fidget with, in a sense. And I guess the kids in the community seeing that, oh, all these DJs play, like...
Yeah.
It, like, I want to play too. Like, it seems fun.
Yeah, I guess the EDM community really, whenever I go to any kind of, like, festival or concert, I see a bunch of crazy, usually it involves lights, which is why I'm kind of surprised Kanama made it, you know, because usually it's, like, that light stick thingy that's floating.
The Levy one.
The Levy, yeah, then there's obviously Poi, and then I feel like some random shit that some dude does on drugs is just, like,
the hula hooping, there's tons of and that's what's so crazy too, is because it doesn't light up,
right?
But yet people are still out there playing with it however they can.
I guess it's like it's just weird that, like, all of these flow toys, even though maybe they're more flowy and flashy than Kanama, they're all, like, attracted to by the EDM community.
Yeah.
But it still takes just as much progression to do those certain tricks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's still, like, really, really difficult. Like, Poi, especially, there's, like, certain tricks that you can do that are, like, so hard.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
It did take some practice, but the thing with, like, Poi is, I guess it's just, like, a lot of dancing, too. So, like, once you figure out your body movements, doing the Poi becomes a lot easier, too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Kendama as well. Like, everything just takes practice.
I guess Kendama has, like, a stall technical aspect that maybe some of those, the toys or
flow toys.
Flow toys don't have, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you could stand completely still and spin Poi, but you would probably look really goofy doing it and things like that. Like, Kendama, you do move your body a lot, don't get me wrong, but you can also stand kind of still.
And just work on stilts or whatever.
Exactly.
The balancing thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. Do you think the EDM community, not that you're, like, a representative of the EDM community, but you've been in the EDM community for a while?
I've worked in it and everything, too.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Do you think they're going to, like, be attached to Kanama for a while? Do you think you see them still, like, they're not, like, Kanama is not really going anywhere?
I feel like, no, and I feel like if they found out more about, like, the community itself in Kanama, they'd probably be a lot more attracted to it as well.
Ah.
I feel like a lot of the EDM people do not know fully about the community and, like, what all we do, competitions and things like that.
Yeah.
They just see the DJs playing and they're like, oh, I want to do that too.
Yeah. Okay.
And there have been a few, I mean, there's a lot of us in the Kanama community that came from the EDM community.
Right.
Like, a lot of us. And so I feel like I love what Sweets does, like, having the booths and things like that and spreading it at festivals.
Yeah.
But the thing that I noticed at Wakan was that we didn't really talk about the comp aspect of Kendama or anything. That's something I look back on and kind of regret not talking to the people about, letting them know about Battle and Mako and things like that. Because I feel like they would really love it. Because I see that light in their eye when they're playing, and I know if they were surrounded by other people with that light as well, it would probably push them to progress as well and, like, go to competitions. Like, a few of my coworkers have gotten into it back home, and they, like, wanted to go to NACO, but it's sadly not going to be in person this year.
Right.
But I feel like once people do find out about the community and interact with some people in it, they're just like, oh, like how I was, like, oh, this is something that I want to be a part of. Like, these are my people.
Right. Yeah. So we've been in Europe for, like,
2 weeks.
2 weeks almost.
Yeah.
And I was really interested to see what the community was like out here compared to the States. But what are your thoughts on that and on where we've gone so far and how's everything been?
Tour's been crazy.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun. We've gone to so many places in, like, such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And the community here is amazing. Everyone just makes it feel like home, no matter where you are. Everyone's taking care of you, looking out for you. It's the same back home, but for us, we're not, like, traveling throughout back home before we go to a comp, so this is a whole different experience in general, staying with people and things like that. But the vibe of EKC is unmatched. I don't feel like any event could ever, like, top that. I could be wrong, but so far, that was just the crazy, the freestyles, the energy from the crowd, I've never felt that before at all.
So you've hit two battles?
Yeah.
Two battles and then one in NACO?
And then Dama to the Death.
And Dama to the Death. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. Yeah, I just wonder what specifically, or like how that happened or why that happened. If it was like, maybe a combination of things.
I think, yeah, like part of it was, I guess it being in such like a small venue and everyone just like having to be compact together watching it, we were all just in sync.
Yeah.
Watching it. Battle for some reason, like during freestyle, maybe it was just because like I had competed and I was just kind of like after the fact. But I feel like the whole crowd wasn't watching the freestyle, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I liked to hear how they did like the qualifiers.
Yeah.
And then you had the top 16. That Nico, it was just battle, it was just invitational.
Yeah.
And but like when I was looking around the crowds, it seemed like everyone was watching at one point. And I feel like EKC, everybody's eyes are on the stage the entire time.
Yeah.
And that was something that was very different that I noticed. And then also beginning to put the sprouts on everybody, that was a lot of fun. I did not expect everyone to like that as much as they did.
Yeah.
I ran out of sprouts the first day, and I brought like over 150 with me.
Oh, wow. I didn't bring that many.
I brought a ton of sprouts with me. That's why I have room in my backpack to buy kendamas. I had all those sprouts in there.
So what's sprouting from? Is it from EDM?
It's from the EDM community. You're just growing.
Yeah. 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 So you just brought people that you don't like or that you do like?
Anyone. If you see somebody that looks like they're growing or like vibing, happy, whatever, you're just like, little sprout. You're technically not supposed to ask for a sprout, but I can't say no to people. So
they ask?
Were asking, but I went around and sprouted as many people as I could. And then once they started popping up everywhere and found out who it was coming from, I had some people come and ask me, which I don't mind. But
they want to be in the in crowd now.
Yeah.
And you're the... I just wonder if it's possible for an American event to do what TO at EKC did. Like, if it is just... Because there's a thing about the European community where there's a lot of adults.
And that's what I think is the difference between the American and Europe communities.
Yeah.
Is that there are a lot more kids that go to the American events. Even though you don't really see that many, they are still there.
Yeah.
And us also where we're having the events, like battles at a church, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And then Nako's at a hotel.
Yeah.
And you can't really drink as openly and stuff in the States as you can out here.
Yeah.
And things like that. So it's a whole different culture.
Yeah.
And it's hard to compare because they've grown up living such a different lifestyle compared to us.
Right. Yeah.
Especially like me in Texas, everything is so strict. So.
Yeah. I feel like when I looked around at the EKC and the people there, it was kind of similar to the people that you'd see at an American event, but they were also kind of different, you know? Like, maybe the reasons they were playing were different, or... It's really hard to put any words onto it, you know?
I feel like people out here, like, I'm not saying that they don't take competition seriously, but I feel like they don't get too in their head about it the way people back home do.
Yeah.
Because during battle, I just remember comp day, everyone headphones in, focused on comp. Out here, everybody was just talking to each other.
They're outside, right?
Yeah, talking to each other, having fun, practicing the comp tricks, playing games. They seemed a lot more relaxed about the comp aspect.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. And it helped me calm down a bit before having to do freestyle.
Right. How'd you like competing?
I feel like this was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I didn't do that great, but I feel like this was one of the better runs that I've ever done.
Yeah.
Because I actually spiked things, so that was fun.
So hyped.
Yeah. Shout out Alex Mitchell for telling me to not look at the crowd before I went on. That really, really helped. Yeah. I literally walked up there and just stared at the ground, and I was like, solid.
Got it.
We're ready to go.
What have you? You competed at every event so far?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How's the process been with that of nerves and progressing your mental space to be able to compete and not like get nervous and stuff?
Nako was nerve-wracking, but the fact that I got to go up against Franta made it really calm for me,
because
I knew he was gonna win no matter what, so that was fine. And we both play pretty much the same, so it was fun us having similar styles and just like going back and forth. It was like a dance battle almost.
And
he's just such a great, amazing person, so I loved like him. I could hear him like cheering me on while I was going and things like that. So that was an amazing experience. Dominant of Death was so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a small event, and I got to compete against both my old teammates, so that was just great.
Yeah.
And I did pretty well there, but it was such a small, homey event, and you got to pick your own music while you were on stage.
That's so cool. I don't know why everyone should do that.
I love, right? That would be so cool. You just write it on a sheet of paper, cue it up, like, what time. and then play it when they go up there. I loved that. I love that I was able to have my own music on stage. Because people tell me to put AirPods in and stuff, but I want to be able to hear the crowd too. So I would, and I feel like if you're freestyling, you should be able to go with like whatever the music is on stage. It's just a little bit more hype in a sense. But battle was the most nerve-wracking experience of my life. Having to like, the like invitational part of it all really like got to my head.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to do good. Like Chad has invited me to do this. Like he invited me for a reason. Like I have to be good. And then I just completely botched. But I feel like everybody needs to have a bad botch, you know?
Yeah, part of the
experience, yeah. You know, and I did better this time, so.
Yeah, right.
It's all a learning and growing experience, and I've talked to so many people about this too, like, Rod and Austin have been playing for 10 plus years, and they still shake on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like no matter what, the nerves are probably always going to be there, but I feel like that's the one thing I really love about Poi. It's starting to bring out this confidence in me that I've never had before. And like spinning on the stage at Y-Bar,
yeah.
I wasn't scared at all.
Yeah.
No nerves, nothing. I was just spinning Poi.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to bring that mentality from Poi to Kendama really, really badly.
Yeah.
It's like Yasu fucking killed it. It was so cool to just see him dance on stage with his Kendama doing all these different tricks. Like, I want to have that kind of mentality. You're just performing. You're just having fun.
Yeah.
Showing you who you are as a player. It shouldn't be nerve-wracking, but it is.
I mean, if you have the right mindset like that, like, maybe when you were spinning Poi on stage at Y-Bar, you were just realizing that everyone was rooting for you. Because I remember you mentioned that a few times, giving advice to people, that there's no, like, pressure to fail, you know?
Everybody just wants to see you succeed. No one wants to see you have a downfall.
Yeah.
And like if you do mess up, the whole crowd's gonna be like, you gotta keep going, like don't worry about it, you still got time. But no one's thinking like that when they're on stage. You're like, oh, I messed up, everyone's gonna laugh at me. That's obviously not what's gonna happen. Like when I got off the stage at battle, I literally like cried in Austin and Ezra's arms. I was like so embarrassed. But everyone was like, you did so good, like don't worry about it. And I was like, thanks, but like no, but you just have to know it. Everyone wants to see you succeed, and that's one thing about the community that's so amazing is from the beginning everyone's just wanting to see you succeed.
Right.
Like you could be starting for your first time and do a bird for your first time, you're gonna have pro players be like, good job, like you did it, like that's such a tough trick, be proud of yourself, now do something else now.
It's a really good test and it's a really good experience for your mental ability to be able to find what you want to think about before you go on stage, right? Because you can think about like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and I have a lot of people looking at me, it's a lot of pressure, if I mess up, this is going to happen. Or you can choose to think about the opposite, which is that people are rooting for me, I could just go up there and show them some of the tricks that I've been working on, and hopefully I do well, and hopefully I impress people, but if not, it's no big deal, you know? And I can imagine that it definitely does that, like, that those choices, they relate to every other aspect of life. You know, of any other stage, if you're presenting for your company, right? That's a very similar choice that you have to get prepared for. What did you think about watching the other freestyle competitors? Were there any specific people that inspired you to like go back and practice on specific things?
Oh, yeah, the higher seat boys.
Yeah,
that was just so. I've never seen anything like that before, like in person. That energy was crazy. It was so inspiring. They were just so happy on stage, doing what they love, and just like making the crowd happy too. Like they put on a show. That was a show.
Yeah.
And that was just so inspiring. Honestly, just never seen anything like that.
What about that like moves you, and what do you think it's moving you to do? Like when you go back to Houston to your front yard, or wherever you end up, your new sesh spot.
Just start like practicing more, like practice proper freestyle runs.
Yeah.
I realized I've never really done that.
Yeah.
Like I've done 45 seconds with my friends and stuff, but going out every single day and making myself do multiple minute runs, I feel like that would really help. Also, listening to music and trying to just like lace with the music and things like that, and just like figure out the body movements, like what I should do, and like how to incorporate the string with the tech. But I feel like practicing runs at home really
help. Yeah, it's hard to get into that space when you're just by yourself. You put music on, and maybe somebody will be looking at you, like in your front yard, like, you know, walking the dog, but like to have people looking at you and to feel the pressure that you want to impress people and then also have music, it's hard to create that in your own system, you know? So maybe that's why people have difficulty, where I have that difficulty, so, you know.
Yeah.
But we've been ciphering at every spot, and I feel like that is helping, you know?
I mean, me especially, like, y'all like, are all my inspirations, so, you know, like, having to do this stuff with you and, like, push myself really hard to, like, not be nervous has actually helped a lot. Like, the very first cipher we did in Scotland, trembling. I literally think I only went in once, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I dipped my toes in the water, but the more we've done it, the more I'm like, let's cipher. Like,
you've been all about it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get a good one in Prague.
Oh, yeah, with that thing in the forest.
Yeah. But, yeah, ciphering is super nice because you're, like, it's not obviously the biggest deal if you mess up. Like, I mean, the last few times that I was ciphered, I messed up.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't do what I wanted to do. But because there's only, like, 10 people, it's not the entire crowd watching you. And I feel like with ciphering, you're really feeling the fun and you really want to make your friends laugh, but it's funny because that is translated right to
and that's
events.
What it should be, and I feel like that's what the higher seats boys do, like they go around and I feel like they cipher everywhere they go,
right.
And so they get crowds of people around them at points and they're just like vibing off the crowd and things like that, and I feel like doing these ciphers really does help, even though it is on a smaller scale of like freestyle, just pushing yourself to go out there and just keep it going. Just keep going. Like Cam says, keep it going, keep it fun, and like flow what you know. And that's one thing I love about freestyle.
Yeah. Are we here?
Yes.
Oh, we're here.
Alright, well we have to do that was like way too quick. How long
30 minutes.
Okay. That was fast. Well, good talking to you. We have to like maybe like when we get to the part
we'll
do a part two.
We can do that.
But yeah, I appreciate it.
Of course.
Good talking.
Not to make this high pressure and like a serious question, but being a girl in Kendama, in the community, what's it like? What's the, I guess the good things?
The good things are that, I mean, there's not many of us, so like when we do find each other, we're like...
extra connected.
Yeah.
When you're already connected when you see a downward player, but then when you see a girl downward player, it's like...
it's a whole different type of connection because, you know, we think the same, like the same things happen to us. We, I don't know, it's just... very different seeing like another girl Kendama player. Being a girl has its benefits and its defaults, of course. But a great benefit for me, I feel like, is that you got noticed a little bit quicker being a girl because there's not many girls. And I feel like that was like a huge reason that I got this like opportunity and things like that. That's something that always plays in the back of my mind. I feel like girls can do tricks that guys can't do. They wouldn't dare touch because they're scared that they're going to hurt themselves. So that's another cool thing.
Yeah.
But really, like, I try not to compare it too much because personally for me, like, we should just, like, you know, be the same in some sense. Like, there shouldn't be a comparison.
No.
But
we're all in the same... We're in this for the same reasons.
Exactly.
We love Kendama. We love the niche toy, you know?
Yeah.
What are you guys laughing at?
Yeah. I was just trying to shake on this. I was trying the auto spike.
Don't be close.
Yeah, but you were talking to me, like, on the way, on the plane, because we've really never had a good sit-down talk, and we were forced to have a sit-down talk because we're, like, all the group is stuck in small rooms together for long periods of time. But, yeah, you kind of brought some awareness to me about being a girl. And I kind of knew these things because there was kind of like a blow up a little bit in 2021 during COVID.
Yeah.
But talking to you personally one-on-one was really enlightening, I would say. Because I guess mostly on Instagram, right? You get messages that me being a guy wouldn't get.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised because the Kendama community that I know, being a guy, is just nice. And I guess there's some, like, douches and there's some, like, annoying people that people kind of stay away from. But being a girl, you're totally, you're like, unfortunately are exposed to a different set of douches and bad guys.
Comments,
you know,
being made that just are super unnecessary. Just the messages, just very unnecessary.
Yeah, tell me about that. Let's talk about it.
So, like, I've posted...
If you're comfortable with it.
I've obviously posted in a bikini a couple times, like, at a beach or at a lake.
Yeah.
They all have over 100 shares on them. Yeah. And would get comments, like, sliding up on my story, like, oh, thanks, gonna use this later type thing. Or when I used to post on my normal account before I made my Kendama Instagram, I would have some guys send me, like, pictures of me in my rave outfits that I had posted.
Yeah.
Kind of saying the same thing or being like, why don't you Kendama in this and things like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a big reason a lot of girls have come and gone throughout the community is because they just felt like they were being harassed in a way and they had no one to, like, back them up, especially when sponsored or pro players are making these comments and you feel like you can't say anything because you don't want to ruin their reputation or anything like that.
Yeah.
But when we first started playing, like, we didn't really know the community in that aspect. So when my friends and I would get messages like that, we'd be like, what is this? And, like, we would share them to each other and things like that. But I've talked to some other girls that have played before me as well, and they've experienced the same thing and told me that they kind of wanted to stop playing because of it, because they felt that they were alone in a sense, and that if they were to go to a competition, like, they wouldn't have anyone who would back them up or anything. And there's... back then, there wasn't that many girls like there is now, so I do feel lucky that we do have such, like, a tight-knit community of girls, and we're there to support each other and not let this stop us from playing Kendama.
Yeah.
Because it is such a small thing, but it really is something that shouldn't even be happening.
Yeah.
And I do feel lucky in the sense that, like, I am sponsored and everything now, so the messages are a lot less because they obviously don't want to be called out for it. But before that, it was just horrible. The pictures that I would get sent, videos I would get sent. Yeah. Thankfully, Instagram has the blur thing now, so pictures and videos won't show unless you're following that person already. But it's just, there's girls that get it way worse than me because I just don't even want to deal with it. And I know I shouldn't let it stop me from doing these things, but I do. But, like, I will never post in, like, a sports bar or anything anymore and things like that, just because I don't want to deal with those comments.
It's crazy to think about that. Like, as a guy, I don't have to even think about it twice.
It sucks because, like, I live in Houston, Texas. It's so hot. Yeah. It is so hot out there. Sometimes all I want to do is play in my sports bra and Spanx.
Yeah.
But I can't. No. I have to suffer through a t-shirt or a tank top.
Yeah.
Wear sticky shorts and things like that. Like, it's not fun.
No, yeah. And obviously, you're a type of person that is, wants to answer DMs and talk to people and be part of the community. And those people are preventing you doing that because now you don't even want to touch your request folder.
Yeah, I don't open that at all.
No.
Ever. Unless someone, like, I recently had someone who had moved to Houston. They were, like, trying to get connected with the crew and everything. And he had messaged me on Instagram, but I didn't follow him. Yeah. So I didn't see it for months.
Right.
And until one of his friends had texted me and was like, hey, my buddy messaged you. Like, can you message him back?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, request folder. Had to go through that.
Yeah. Is it mainly on social media? Do you get any stuff in person ever?
In person, it's usually from, like, guys I've talked to online already that I thought that I was friends with and we were, like, connecting in a friend way. And then we meet in person and they tell me they kind of feel a different way or they want to take me out or do things with me. And I'm like, no. Like,
no, we're friends.
We're just friends. And then they stop talking to me after the fact because they couldn't get what they wanted. That stuff sucks a lot, and that also makes it really hard to make new friends because then it's like, who can I really trust? Who has pure intentions? Because, like, sometimes I think I'm a very good judge of character, but then it gets thrown in my face that I'm not. So it makes me very timid sometimes to, like, talk to guys, even though it's a very male-dominated community. It's, and, like, this whole tour, I've pretty much been the only girl. Yeah. There's been stops where there are girls, but sometimes there's not.
Yeah.
So it's just... it's hard sometimes. That's why I do feel very lucky that I have you guys around. Like, I feel safe.
Well, we feel extremely lucky too, you know, that you're representing that group. And you have been doing such a good job. Me and Marcus were talking about it the other day. Just going out, reaching out to the girls, you know. Like, we try to do that and we make an effort, but, like...
it's harder for you guys too because we're so timid towards the boys.
Right.
And there's some girls that aren't, you know. And I try not to be too, but...
But you relate.
Yeah.
You relate. And I think you're such a good inspiration for women and for girls, like younger girls, that they see you playing and see you doing tricks that guys can't do, and they look up to you, you know? Like, I remember back in Czech Republic when me and Marcus went, there were, like, five girls that were just slaying, you know? And it was that unfortunate so that we didn't have a girl on the team.
Yeah.
That they could really look up to. Of course, like, we talked to them, and they were really cool and happy to meet us. But hopefully they're there tomorrow when we go to the gym.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah. Because it is way too dominated by men.
It is.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, at the mall, like, a girl said it when we were at the American Dream Mall doing a jam, and the only girl there was Amanda.
Yeah.
And, like, I like, it's a fault of mine, but I didn't realize it until she was like, hey, like, there's no girls here. I'm like, oh, well, we have Amanda. And there was, like, 80 guys, you know? Like, 80 to 1.
Yep.
Which is insane.
I mean, Cassie, Megan, and I were the only three girls that competed in the whole freestyle.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. There was, like, what, 130 people doing freestyle, and there's only three girls?
Yeah.
It's just so crazy to me that there's not more, and a part of me really does feel like it's because I've seen so many girls come and go, and I feel like that's the reason why, is because of the messages they would get, and they would think that the whole community is like this, which really it's not.
No.
There's so many amazing men in the community, do not get me wrong. Like, I love you guys, I have my other friends as well.
Yeah.
But there's always gonna be, like, the sour apples in the community.
Yeah.
And I really wish that it didn't deter the girls from, like, pushing forward and continuing their growth with Kendama.
Yeah.
Because we could make such a difference.
Yeah.
With Kendama as a girl. And yeah, it's just sad.
And you can't, like, the guys of Kendama can't just leave it up for girls to do.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if it's only the girls working on this and doing this, then it's just too small of a group. They need, like, a push, you know? And it's only going to help if like, me or other men in the community, like, really look and reach out to women and other minorities for that aspect, right? Because then once everybody starts helping, everybody starts pushing, then that's when, like, everybody's in it, and then you get a big enough, like, girl squad, and then you guys just start rolling, and then one day there's an event that's just, like, girl dominated.
And that's why I feel so lucky back home that there's more girls than guys that play, because, like, my whole girl group plays.
So sick. Yeah.
And so I feel very lucky that I get to have that, like, female energy around me all the time back home, and, like, coming out here and being with you guys is very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. It's been, that's why, like, Eva being here is making me so happy. Yeah. Like, I just have another girl around.
Yeah. Stinky, smelly guys walking around.
Yeah.
Franta pooping with the door open.
Jacob's feet.
Shut up.
Yeah. But one thing when we were talking about that really surprised me was, and I know this is probably for the woman in the community that is just like, yeah, of course, but it's not just rando Instagram. First of all, it's not random Instagram people.
Yeah. But
it's not only that. It's people in the community that play Kendama.
Yeah.
And then there's actually people that we all look up to that are pros and sponsored people that are sending these messages, which is absolutely insane.
And they think they can get away with it, too, because they're pro, they're sponsored.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's just even more messed up that they have that kind of mentality. And, like, some guys in the community, too, see a girl playing Kendama and they're like, oh, that's going to be my wife. Like, this pretty girl playing Kendama, that must be my future wife.
Yeah.
And we're not objects. No. We're people ourselves. And it's weird, like, just how they go about it sometimes, like, thinking that they can, like, claim us and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, we're our own people. A lot of girls that I talk to in the community don't even want to date a guy in the Dama community. They would want to keep that stuff separate.
Right. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
There's guys like that, too, you know? Like, it's merging two different things, two different relationships. And especially for girls, I can totally see why they wouldn't want that, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's crazy, and it's like a mindset that kind of needs to be changed, not only in the community, but probably just in the world, you know?
Exactly, and that's the thing, is, like, in any community, you're going to have this, but I feel like Kendama is so special to the point where we can
change it.
And, eliminate it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because, like I've said earlier, I've never felt such, like, a strong community before. Like, everyone loves each other, everyone supports each other, and that being said, like, I feel everyone could make a difference in this aspect, like, sticking up for each other. And I wish for the girls, too, to be able to, like, speak out on these things if these things do happen, not be afraid to say something because of who the person is.
Right.
Because it should be known who's saying what.
Yeah.
Because you don't want little kids looking up to these male pro players that are not really good people to begin with.
Right.
And everyone does make mistakes. I will say that too. Like, I have had guys who have done certain things to me and then come back later and, like, in person have told me how sorry they are and they know it was wrong and things like that, and they hope that we can move past it and be friends. And I really respect that. I do believe in second chances. Everyone makes mistakes, and you're not going to learn unless you make a mistake.
Right.
So
yeah, that's really true.
I don't want it to be like, oh, this person said that, cancel. Like, no. Like, give them a chance to be like, yeah, I should not have done that. My bad. Like, I'm not going to do that again. And if they do it again, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I do feel like everyone does deserve a second chance.
Yeah. I think overall it's a really good sentiment that, like, the community is great, but because it's great, that means that we can all try to make a difference. Yeah. I know that kind of sounds cliche, but, like, if this community was just, like, already too competitive, and I've heard about, like, the yo-yo community being too competitive or whatever, or other
skateboarding
community, like, it's too crazy and almost big at some point.
Yeah.
Like, Kanama is small enough, and everyone kind of knows each other, and then once you really go in, it's so great because you can talk to anybody, and there's not, like, these super crazy, rich pro players that you'll never interact with.
Yeah.
It's a community where everyone's talking with everybody. And when it's that small, and because it's great, then that gives us, everybody, the opportunity to, like, fix these issues that need to be fixed.
Yeah.
You know? And hopefully we can see improvement, because that's a real thing, you know, for people to get called out on, if they need to be called out on, and for people to be aware and then forgive if you need to forgive, or do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But just keep, whatever that is, like, I think it's small enough and good enough where we can do that, you know?
I do too. And because I really, really, really would love for more girls to just start playing Kendama and, like, competing in Kendama. Like, we can go up against the boys. We're just as good as y'all.
Yeah.
And I do respect the girl comps as well. I think that's fun. I think it's a great way to, like, unify the girls together and, like, have us do something separate from y'all.
Yeah.
But I don't like that it, like, completely being separated, like, kind of like how Nako was.
Yeah.
They had, like, beginner, intermediate, advanced just for girls.
Mm.
I feel like it should be a choice.
Yeah.
Or they should just have an all-girls comp and things like that. Mm. And I do understand, too, that some girls don't want to go up against boys, and that's totally understandable.
Yeah.
But I feel like they should.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, the best of both worlds would be a girl can compete in the girls open and then also compete in the, and they can do both.
Yeah.
You know? And there shouldn't be any, like, hesitancy towards that, obviously. But, it's a good point. I mean, it is cool that they did that too, because it's like, oh, this is for the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. To show the amount of girls that are in the community. You know?
But it was so sad. Seeing how little girls...
Oh, yeah.
It's just not the same at all.
No.
Yeah. And that's, like, a big reason I do like to compete, is because even if I don't do well, at least, like, I'm putting myself out there for the girls. Like, I'm doing this, you can do it too, and you might even do it better than me.
Right.
Because I'm not that great at competing, but there could be some other girl out there that is, and I want to show her that she can do it too, and she can beat these people.
Right.
And especially, like, younger girls too that are getting into it. So I feel like starting out Kendama at such a young age is a gift, you know?
Yeah.
And I would love to just get, like, more girls involved.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when, you know, a lot of people, I think, get into Kendama, like, 9 to 12.
Yeah.
And then once you get your teenage years, it's maybe when girls drop off, right? Yeah. But there are so many girl slayers that are, like, 9, 12, younger, maybe a little older, that with the right influence and... I don't want to say guidance, but just with the right, like, inspiration.
Yeah.
Can, like, stick to it and be inspired and play equally just as guys play and not worry about stuff that guys don't have to worry about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there was that one, we were just talking about the one girl from Poland, I forget her name.
Zooey or something?
Yeah.
Zooey?
Zuzia?
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 I'll look her up.
Yeah.
So honed.
She's so good.
Yeah, it's so fun to watch. You know?
She's so creative with her style. I love it so, so much.
Yeah.
And she's like, what, 15,
yeah,
right?
Something like that.
And she's only going to get better. And right. She's already so crazy. I can't even imagine what she's going to be like when she's my age,
you know? Yeah.
And I really, really hope...
Susia,
15. Susia? Yeah. I really, really hope that she never stops playing.
Right.
Because she will go far.
Yeah.
She's a type that will win world competitions, I feel like.
Yeah.
If
yeah,
she competes, so cool. You know?
Yeah, yeah, I feel like in Japan, there's a lot more girls, I want to say.
Oh, 100%. Japan's so different, though.
I wonder why that is and what they're doing. I know it's a completely different country and culture.
Well, but... I've heard that they, like... play kendama in their gym class, you know, so...
Yeah, so maybe it's a different mindset behind it.
And they get shown it at, like, a wider scale.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even hear about kendama until 2017.
Yeah.
So, I feel like out there, it's so different. I would love to go there and just see all the girls.
Yeah, and the girls are being girls, too. You know, like, Yui and Yua.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really cool to bring their own personalities into kendama.
Exactly.
Misu, of course. I mean, there's a million, you know.
Yeah.
But that's something that we can learn from, I think, you know, from the Japanese community.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. But I think for the most part, like, to look at the positive, there's a lot of community and a lot of guys that do root for...
Oh, 100%. You know? I don't want it to seem like a negative thing at all. There's way more good than bad.
Yeah.
It's just the bad really sometimes outweighs the good when it's just constant.
Yeah.
And you feel alone. Because, like I said, I feel lucky I have all my girls back home. Yeah. But a lot of the other girls in the community don't have girls that they can hang out with at home that play kendama.
Right.
And they don't... I feel like they just feel alone in the sense that if they were to go to a competition, are they going to have anyone who is there for them, backing them up?
Yeah.
And it's... Yeah.
Yeah. What's your future with kendama? What do you envision? Do you have any thoughts towards future comps, events, edits, yeah, anything, any projects or anything that you're thinking about? We're going with the flow.
Yeah, really just trying to spread kendama as much as I can. Because I know what it's done for me and how it saved my life. And I know it's done that for a lot of people as well. And I know there's other people out there that need something like that.
Mm.
And especially like girls as well.
Yeah, to be able to share it. Yeah, for sure.
Because it's so different like playing kendama as a girl. I feel like you just... The mentality is a bit different, and like we all click in that same way.
Yeah.
And it would just be nice to have that on a grander scale.
Yeah, for sure. So sharing kendama is your number one goal, and specifically with
girls. And I want girls to know that they're not alone. Like, it may be shitty sometimes, but there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, and all the girls are here to support the girls. Right. There's a lot of guys that are here to support the girls as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. When's your... I guess Naiko is going to be online this year, unfortunately. But when, do you know when your next event will be?
If I move to Europe at the end of the year, the next European event that I can go to.
So maybe a German event. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. I actually think in France on the 18th I'm going to an event.
Okay.
Yeah, but comp-wise, I'm up in the air.
Yeah. Battle potentially.
Yeah, it just depends where I'm living at that point, because I'm really trying to move out here before the year ends.
Yeah.
Or at least if I do have to wait until next year, then I'd probably wait until after battle so I wouldn't have to fly home.
Right.
But I'm trying to move out here as fast as I can.
Yeah.
I feel like this place is like my home.
Yeah, do you?
I don't want to go home at all.
Your first time in Europe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've dreamed of coming here my entire life. Like, for as long as I can remember, all I've ever thought about is traveling Europe. And I got to do that through kendama, which is so crazy to me. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just...
So cool.
This place just feels like home.
Yeah.
Everywhere I've gone, I just feel like I've had the dumbest smile on my face throughout.
You have,
Just so excited to be here, and I do not want to go home at all. I don't miss home. Sorry, Mom. I don't miss home at all. I miss my dogs. I miss my mom, but they can come here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Yeah. What do you, where do you think you would move? Not to hype up the, like,
specific communities. Well, so I have an interview in France and Italy. So those are some choices. Marcus may have me an interview in Denmark. So those are like the top three, I would say. But I'm really open to living anywhere I could find a pastry job.
Yeah.
But Italy will.
Pastry chefs. Keep the word out.
Yeah. Any pastry chefs looking for a job in Europe?
So you'd be kind of down for anywhere.
Yeah. There hasn't been a place that we've gone on this tour that I wouldn't want to go back to.
Yeah.
I could picture myself literally living anywhere, at this point.
Yeah. Hopefully Copenhagen.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Cool. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about relating to anything? I want to talk about your top inspirations and your favorite players. Who you look up to the most and what style you like the most, and especially like throughout your few years of playing, three years.
Well, when I first started playing Kendama, Marcus, Russ, and Franco were my absolute favorites.
Yeah.
I said in like the review a long time ago that Marcus was my favorite player. That's not the case. I'm kidding. No, but they've all three been like my biggest inspirations from the moment I started playing Kendama and the PDOX crew in general.
Yeah.
I just loved the style, the energy, the happiness. It was just something I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And I just admired it so much when I first started playing Kendama. Yeah. And that's why it's so crazy to me that I'm on a team with them now. You know, both teams. It's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
It, again, just does not feel real at times.
Well, you deserve it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But I would say also, like, Adriana is a huge inspiration of mine, too. Yeah. I love her confidence and her style. Like, she's been a flow artist for, like, 6-7 years now.
Yeah.
And then so when she picked up Kendama, she just went with it. Mm. And it was so nice for me to see because I was like, oh, I'm not the only girl doing this stuff anymore. Yeah. Like, there's another one coming out here.
Yeah.
And so she's always been a big inspiration to me since she started playing Kendama. I love her energy. I love who she is as a person. She's become one of my best friends. But yeah, I would say my team and her are just like my biggest inspirations, honestly.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, just keep it going, girls. Please don't stop playing Kendama.
Yeah.
It just makes me sad when I see them come and go.
Yeah.
And I want them to know that if they, like, any girl, if they ever need anyone to talk to, like, they could come to me about anything, and I just don't want them to see, them stop playing.
Yeah. Well, I know that you're a big inspiration for them and also for us and the Lotus team. Like, I'm sure I could say the same with the PDOX team. Probably more than you know. And me and Marcus have been talking about how much energy you bring to each sesh and to every place you go to.